jumping into a new series this Sunday called Back to the Future. How many have seen the movie Back to the Future? This may require a rewatch of the movie. I'm actually not going to preaching about the movie, but I certainly want to borrow the title, even though I think it is interesting that when was that movie made? 1991, 92? Any movie buffs in the room today? Something like that. But when they set the clock on the DeLorean, he put the timer to March 2020. Is that correct? He set it to March 2020. It's kind of ironic that in March 2020, all of this began happening, and we have seen our lives completely altered in the last few months. But I want to talk to you about your future. I realize that all of us have been on hold. We have been in this limbo of sorts for about 3 months. More than once, I have heard myself say, and I've heard others say, that this is the craziest thing I have ever seen. What's happening in our world right now, what we are seeing on the news, it's the craziest thing I have ever seen. And you've probably said the same. And it seems like, you know, after day and day and day of this, that nothing is ever going to change. But I believe it is time to start talking about the future safely and carefully, and to start talking about the tomorrows of our life. We can tell you where we were in March 2020. We can tell you where we were when we first heard the news. We can tell you where we were a few weeks ago, but we really have no idea what next week or next month looks like. And I think it's time to start talking about the future. I want to get back to my future. I want to get back to the future that God has for me. I want you to get back to your future. I had to frame my thoughts around a childhood memory, because as the youngest kid and as the youngest member of my family growing up, I was the TV remote. Any other babies in the family, you were the TV remote. I see some hands, absolutely. Maybe you online, you were the TV remote, and kids right now, teenagers are saying, what in the world does that mean? That means I never was allowed to sit on the couch. I never could get up in any of the comfortable chairs. I had to sit down on the floor right in front of the TV, because if the rest of the family was not happy with what was on or what was playing on that channel, then I my job was to get up and to change the channel, because we didn't have remotes. Now you've got remotes you can't find. Now you have 10 remotes to operate the three or four devices that you have sitting on your mantle right now. We are a remote-driven society. You see, back then, we didn't have 400 channels to pick from. We no one had a tablet in their hand. There certainly was no Twitter to source news from, and there definitely was not Facebook to entertain us. We had interruptions. We would be watching our favorite television program as a kid, and then they would interrupt the broadcast with breaking news. Anybody remember what I'm talking about? They would break in. There was no CNN. There was no Fox News. There was no MSNBC. There were no 24-hour news cycle stations. Everything happened on NBC, ABC, or CBS. And they would break in with breaking news. And whatever it was that was happening, whatever the breaking news was, whether it was just a quick announcement or whether it was something that was going to impact an hour or the rest of the evening, whenever they finished with the breaking news, they would say this, "And now back to our regularly scheduled program." Am I the only one walking down memory lane today? I remember, "Now back to our regularly scheduled program." That's a bit what this season has felt like. It has felt like a significant interruption. We were all just living when all of a sudden there was breaking news. All of a sudden there was an interruption. All of a sudden everything changed in our lives. This is what I want to teach today. I want to ask you this question. Where were we? Now where were we? I mean, before all of this happened, before all of this broke out, before we were so rudely interrupted, before everything began to fall apart in our world, where were we? What was 2020 looking like? What was 2020 feeling like? Whether it was January or February or March, I know that seems like a year ago. It seems like so very long ago, but you realize we're just on the last day of the fifth month of 2020. We're not that far removed from the turn of a new year. We're just a few months. But can I tell you that something was happening in this house? Something was happening in your life. Something was happening in this community. Good things were happening. God was doing great things in our church. There were miracles that were happening. You say, "Ah, Pastor Darrell, that's just cliche talking. You're just preaching, trying to excite the crowd." Listen, I've preached to no crowd for 3 months. It's good to see some folk here today, and I hope you'll offer an amen every once in a while just to let me feel something different and unique from the last 3 months. But there were legitimate and real and powerful miracles that were happening in this house. Let me ask you something. Can we get back to our regularly scheduled program? Can we get back to the future? Can we get back to what God was doing? Can we get back to revival? Can we get back to a move of God on Sundays? Can we get back to a breakthrough in the things of God for our lives? It reminds me of the early church in Acts chapter 12. I want to read a little bit from Acts 12 today, the first few verses of that chapter. The Bible says, "About the time King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church, he had the apostle James, who was John's brother, killed with a sword. And when Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter." Verse 4, "Then he imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him." It was a significant interruption. If this is Pentecost Sunday, this is the birth date of the church, if you will. Acts 2 to Acts 12 is actually spans several years, but if you were to read those few chapters this afternoon while you're relaxing in the backyard, if you were just to skim and catch some highlights, you would see that every day was a miraculous day. You would see that every day was a day of breakthrough. Every day was a day for revival. People are being saved and things are happening and the power of God is falling and it is incredible. But make no mistake, the enemy, Herod wanted to kill the church. So James' head is cut off with a sword, and then it becomes political, because the Bible told us that Herod saw how much it pleased the Jews. He saw how excited they got. They were rabid in their emotions and in their anger. And so he said, well, let me see who else is life I can take. Let me see which other one of these apostles I can arrest. And so he sets his sights on Peter. And everyone knows that Peter is the face of the church. Why? Because in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell, it was Peter that came staggering out of that upper room to say, these men are not drunk as you think they are. It's just the third hour of the day. But something happened in that upper room. There was a fire. There were tongues. There was something incredible that happened. And it's not just for those in the upper room. It's for those who are here. Peter is the face of the early church. So Herod thinks, if I can arrest Peter, if I can get Peter in handcuffs, if I can put 16 soldiers around him, guarding him, all heavily armed, then I can kill the church. Y'all know that the devil has always been after the church, right? Y'all know the church is enemy number one for the enemy. You know the devil does not want this church, the Church Covington, or any other church in our community, or any other church in our nation. He does not want the church to succeed, because a church that is doing the will of God is hated by the devil. Hated by the devil. Cannot stand it. That's our church. The enemy does not like our church. You say, well, what did we do to him? Well, how do we make him mad? The very fact that you're here today, the very fact that you have purpose and passion in your heart, the very fact that you want to worship God in the face of a pandemic, when everyone is saying, no, 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 just leave church. Don't even bother getting back to the devil hates the church. And when minds are made up, or when there is a line that is drawn, that's when the attack comes. That's when the enemy comes fighting with everything that he has. I'm going to take you way back down memory lane, but if you'll remember January, we were teaching a series called Seeing 2020. Do you remember the declarations watching online? Do you remember the declarations that we made about 2020? Do you remember what God was saying to us about this year, and what God was declaring for us, and what we were speaking in faith for 2020? Remember deciding that this was going to be your greatest spiritual year ever? I don't know about you, but I refuse to give up my progress. I refuse to throw in the towel on the plan. I refuse to say, well, this year is wasted. I just saw some crazy, the memes in this season. If you're a fan of memes, they have been hilarious. But I just saw some crazy news, and I didn't have time to even dig into it, but there was some crazy news that somewhere they discovered, I don't know, some kind of a hole, and way down deep in this hole is like, you know, signs of alien life or something like that. And so someone had a picture of this news clip and this story and wherever this hole is, and the caption was, seal it back up. We've had enough in 2020. Just seal it up. We'll deal with that in 2021. We'll tackle that later. We cannot handle anymore in 2020. I kind of feel the same way, but I know in January God was speaking some big things. God was speaking some powerful things, and I'm not saying, well, this year let's just punt on this year. Let's just give up the remainder of this year. We're watching from home today. We'll just I don't know, I just give up on 2020. No, I refuse to give up on what God said in January, because this that's happened the last 3 months did not take God by surprise. That must have meant that whatever he said to us in January, he was intending to fulfill it, even in the face of significant challenges and interruptions. That must mean he still intended to get the job done in spite of setbacks, in spite of difficulties, in spite of pain, in spite of disappointment. He must still have wanted to accomplish his will. You and I just have to learn to pivot and reset and adjust and say, hey, things aren't looking the way they used to look, but I am going to figure out how I can do the will of God in my life, because I am not giving up the word that God declared over me. Does anybody believe what the word is saying today? Lots of interruptions, lots of setbacks. But where were we? Where were we? What was it that God was doing before the interruption? I got four things I want to tell you about today. Just to remind you, just to recount for just a moment what God was doing before COVID-19, before coronavirus, prior to the second weekend in March when we had to make the decision to stop gathering in person. The first thing that I want to remind you of was prayer. Prayer. I'm telling you, there have been people a part of this church who have been understanding more than ever the power of prayer at the Church Covington. There have been people who have been praying. I honestly do not quite know how to describe to you how powerful and how incredible our Tuesday evening prayer sessions have been. We just relaunched those this past Tuesday night, and we've got plenty of room to pray and social distance in the auditorium here, but we just started that again on Tuesday night in the building. If you're watching online, if you're worried about crowds, I promise you, you can come in for prayer and you won't have to get close to anyone. You can pray if you want to do that. You're welcome to do that. And anyone here, but people in this church, intercessors, people who have a very strong spiritual sense and understanding. And I'm not trying to freak anybody out that's watching that may not quite understand our passion or our persuasion of faith, but I believe in the power of prayer. It's almost become something we smile about when we gather and pray and put some of these prayer requests out, and we come back the next week and yeah, we saw that happen, or this thing that we've been praying about, look what God did and look how God worked. There were people praying in this house, and I believe even beyond just a Tuesday hour from 6 to 7, there are people that are relying on and depending on God more than ever before. And you're praying in your cars, and you're praying in your homes, and you're praying out in your backyards, and you're praying wherever you are, because you do not want to depend or rely on your own strength. You want to depend on God. Listen, that's where we were. That's where I want to be. Whatever interruption we have faced, whatever challenge we have seen, whatever chaos has come to our schedule, I want to call this church back to prayer. I want to call people back to prayer, because if we're ever going to be anything as a church, it will be because we are a praying church. As known as we might could ever become for our worship, and that's great, and I hope it just gets gooder and gooder and gooder every single week. I know that's not proper English, but they canceled school a few months ago and it's been downhill ever since. I want our worship to be fantastic. I want the preaching to be relevant and helpful. And I want our serve to be a blessing to everyone it encounters. But I'm telling you, what's going to make the difference in this community is when we pray. When we say, Lord, we need you working in our lives. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wickedness and pray, if people will pray, then something will happen. I want us to get back to our passion for prayer. Let me tell you something else that was really taking hold for our church was our understanding of our purpose. We've spent 2 years defining our purpose, understanding better our purpose, and more clear than ever our purpose. It's on the wall out there. We are the church, dynamic, spirit-filled, and diverse, serving people, developing leaders, impacting generations. We are understanding our purpose. Things were coming together. Our departments have been taking shape. Our church kids is growing. So many good things happening. So many incredible things happening. Our purpose. Nothing derails purpose like pandemics. Nothing derails purpose like facing something you've never faced before. Man, I'm telling you, when this thing hit, it's been as crazy and as my adjectives escape me today, but maddening is the thing that I want to say, when you just feel like I got to do this, but I don't know how to do that. And we've had people on our team who have just jumped in with both feet and said, let's figure this out, let's learn this, let's work through this, let's fight through this. Why? Because we have a purpose. We can't just sit down and say, well, that was out of our control, and it was. Well, that was beyond us, and it was. Well, we can't help that, and we can't. But our response and our reaction to what has happened, here is my conviction. I know we may be moving on from coronavirus. We may be seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and getting a hold on how to handle this and how to deal with this. But what about the next? What about the next storm? What about the next challenge? What about the next dark day? What about the next bad news? What about the next pandemic? The Bible says that there's pestilence and all of these things are going to happen. Read your Bible, all of it's there. So the church has to be prepared to be who God has called us to be, even in the face of whatever the current news is. We can't just go sit up under the willow tree and hang our harps and say, well, let us know in about 70 years when all of this is done. No, we can't afford that. We have to continue being the church, even in challenging times. We have to continue doing what God has called us to do, even in difficult times. We have our purpose, and our purpose never sleeps. Our purpose is our purpose. It's the reason that we exist. And I'm so thankful for leaders, and I'm so thankful for Team Church, and I'm so thankful for audiovisual departments, and I'm so thankful for staff. I'm so thankful for people in this house that you have been baptized into our purpose. And it's like, what do we have to do? How can we? Let's go. Let's do this. Let's be who God has called us to be. So we have prayer and we have purpose. Where else were we? What else was God doing? Let me tell you about power. power. Prayer, purpose, power. I'm telling you as clearly as I know how today that our Spirit of God that has been moving in our church, powerful, powerful, powerful. Our last full in-person weekend was a revival the first weekend in March. Anybody remember that? It seems like a lifetime ago. But we had Sunday morning and we had Sunday evening and we had a Monday night. Monday night was a torrential rainstorm. But I'm telling you, the crowd was smaller on Monday night. It's a Monday, number one, and then it's unbelievable rain. But there were more miracles that happened on Monday night than I know I've ever seen in my 2.5 years a part of this church. It was unbelievable. Miracle after miracle. And you're sitting there saying, wait a minute, I didn't hear about that. Let me go check Facebook. No, there's some miracles we can't even post about. We can't even tell some folks' testimonies because they are so private and they are so personal. Some of the things that God is doing and some of the ways that God is working and some of the ways that God moves in this church. It's unbelievable. I'm thinking of one right now. If I could tell it, man, if I could tell it, but I can't tell it. So you just have to know that God is at work in this church. This is a church where the power of God is welcome to move. Doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be crazy. It doesn't have to be scary for anyone. But I believe in the supernatural. On this Pentecost Sunday, listen, don't just let your preacher just say, yeah, that happened, but it was only back then and for those people. Read your Bible a little further, because Peter said this promise is for you and your children. It's for generation after generation, like that new song, The Blessing, so told us today. It's for everyone. That means it's for you and I today. It's not over. It hasn't stopped. God is still working. He is still moving, and I want to give him space and place to work in my life and in this church, because I want the power of the Holy Spirit. Does anybody agree with the word of the Lord today? Power of God. The enemy would say, oh, that's so long ago, March, that's so long ago. No, it really wasn't. Just 3 months ago. It's still fresh, it's still here, but it doesn't matter if it was 3 months ago, because it's in us. It's in you, it's in me. It's in this room on May 31st, 2020, the same God, the same power. I don't know what you may be facing today. I don't know what you may be going through today. I don't know what new pain has come into your body in the last 3 months. I don't know what new diagnosis you may be facing. I don't know what new difficulty you may be dealing with in your life. But hear me, the power of God is in this room. I just talked with a little 5-year-old guy this morning that is dealing with a kidney stone. I don't know about him being that young. I've only had one in my life, and I never, ever, ever, ever want to have another one, ever. It was born 9.6 ounces, 31 inches long. I think I named it somewhere. I don't know. Miserable, miserable, miserable. But you know what I believe? I believe that God is able to touch that little man right here in this service. I believe God is able to heal his body right here in this service. Does anybody believe that God still works and moves and heals and does miracles? Come on, somebody give him praise in this house if you believe it. It's the power of God. I believe in the power of God. You say, Pastor Darrell, I'm watching online. I'm not there. I want somebody to pray with me. We pray for you right now. We ask God to move right now. Type in the comments, I need a miracle. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Type it. There's people right all around you right now that'll pray for you, that'll ask God to move in your life. I'm believing the wind of His Spirit will blow right where you are, and you can feel His power, His Spirit moving in your life to fix and to work and to heal the need in your life. So where were we? We were understanding prayer, operating in prayer. We were living our purpose. We were experiencing power. And let me tell you, finally today, we were seeing people, people, people. January, February, March was unbelievable. I write notes to everyone that fills out a connection card, anyone that fills out one of our guest cards. I spend Monday afternoon filling out, writing handwritten notes to people that fill out a connection card. And it was unbelievable. Every single Monday, there was a stack, there were multiples, there were people, people. Where do these people live? They were coming from addresses all around, Conyers, Covington, Social Circle, Atlanta, Lithonia, coming from everywhere, people. We were seeing people. For three solid months, there were every single weekend were many guests and people connecting. Where were they coming from? Was it our new billboard? We don't have a billboard. Was it some kind of door-to-door outreach? We haven't done any door-to-door outreach. Where were they coming from? It's the Spirit of God that is drawing people, bringing people. And let me tell you something. The people were not all of the same race, nor were they the same color, because we've driven a stake in the ground that we're not worried about that. We're not focused on that. We just love people. Why? Because every person matters to God. Therefore, every person matters to us. Everyone matters to God. So everyone has to matter to us. And our growth has been across races. Our growth has been beyond skin color. People coming, people gathering, people making their way to the church. Can I tell you that everyone is welcome in this church? Everyone is welcome. I don't have the COVID. I just need to clear my throat. I'm scared to cough anywhere. Afraid they're going to come put me in a straitjacket and carry me off somewhere. Let me just get it over one time. Is that all right? I don't have any fever, I promise. People matter. We've had people connecting, people typing the word connect in our chat while we've been online only. People sending us inbox messages, people sending messages to various social platforms. I've never been to this church. I don't know this church, but I can't wait to come to this church. I just found you online, but I love what I feel. I love what I hear. I can't wait to meet you in person. That tells me that even in the midst of pandemic, even in the midst of challenge, even in the midst of crisis, God is still working for us. God is still moving for us. God is still helping us. And if you're watching today, don't worry. When you get ready, we're going to be right here. If that's next week or if it's next month or if it's when school, we're going to be right here. And we can't wait to meet you. Connect as much as you can. Get involved as much as you are able, because we are excited about people. So that's where we were. And I've come to ask you today, can we get back to our regularly scheduled program? I'm thankful for everyone online right now. Our church has rallied. It's been unbelievable. We pivoted. We went to work, and it has been amazing. You folks are awesome. You that are in this room today are incredible. You rallied. You rallied. You rallied. People started giving. People have started connecting. People started saying, hey, what can I do? And it's made all the difference in the world. I want you to look at Acts 12. Verses 11 through 16. Peter finally came to his senses. Verse 5 to verse 11, there's a lot that happens. An angel comes into the prison, taps Peter on the shoulder. The Bible said the chains fell off from his hands, from his ankles. Every prison door opened of its own accord, the Bible says. Peter walks out of that prison. It's supernatural. It's powerful. And Peter is wondering, where is the church? Where are those who support? Where are those who believe? He goes to the house. Verse 11, Peter finally comes to his senses. What does that mean? It means he kind of came out of that euphoric, almost like I've been lost in the spirit. The angel tapped me on the shoulder. When he tapped me on the shoulder, I kind of left my rational thinking and got over into this Holy Spirit thinking, and he's been leading me through all of these doors, and now I'm out here on the street, and he kind of comes to himself, and he says, it's really true. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod. I was as good as dead, but the Lord saved me, and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. He comes out of this quarantine fog, if you will. And he realizes, God kept me. God took care of me. I want you to realize that today as you come out of quarantine fog, as you begin to move a little bit in your community, God has kept us. We're okay. The enemy had a plan, but we're not ignorant to the devices of the enemy. Verse 12, when he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John. I'm almost done. He went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered together for prayer. I wonder where I could find the church in times of crisis. I wonder where I will find those when days are difficult. Will they be somewhere complaining? Will they be shrinking in a corner? Will they be struggling somewhere? No, they're praying in faith. He knocked at the door, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. The King James calls her a damsel, which means a young servant girl. She's just a young girl named Rhoda. She comes to the door. What does that mean? I'm asking. I want the young. I want the serving. I want our young people. Why we're so passionate about our church kids, because we don't want to lose a generation. That's why CY is so passionate about your students, because we do not want to lose a generation. We don't want to lose our young people. So if I can get you serving somewhere, it's time to serve. It's time to invest your life into God's house while you're young. She hears the knocking at the door. But verse 14, when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she, instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, Peter is at the door. She recognized the voice of revival. She heard the sound of a miracle. I'm wondering, can you hear? Can you hear? Do you recognize the voice of revival? Can you hear the sound of a miracle? I don't want the supernatural to surprise you today. I don't want it to tap you on the shoulder, your home on the shoulder, knock on your front door and us? Who, us? Really? Remember those commercials of Ed McMahon showing up at people's houses? I've gone way down memory lane today. Those people, I mean, they never were fixed up. I mean, surprise me on the day when I've just showered and shaved and put on some matching clothes. No, they would wait till people were unmatching, unkempt, and then they would knock on their front door and have this big giant check for $1 million. You know what? When people get surprised like that, suddenly they don't care what they look like anymore. I don't want the supernatural to surprise you today when it knocks on your front door. She heard the voice. She recognized, hey, Peter is here. They responded, you are out of your mind. You're crazy. It's too soon to be back in church, in person. You're crazy. No, it's not time. Wait. But she insisted, no, something's happening. Something's moving. Our prayers are coming true. God has heard us. God has heard us. Revival kept knocking. And when they finally opened the door and saw him, they were amazed. They were amazed. I made up in my mind in January that I would open the door to all that God had for me and for this church in 2020. COVID-19 came along and told us to close the door. Keep it closed. Don't come out. Stay hidden in your house. We'll get practical in this series. I look forward to teaching Back to the Future. Get here. Be here every day, online, in person. Get here. Wherever you're watching from, get this word in your life. Because God is opening a door in your life, in your home, in this church, in your life. And I'm not going to miss it. You know why? Because I'm ready to be amazed. Ready to be amazed by the power of God. Maybe you are ready to be amazed. Maybe you're in this room today and you're ready to be amazed. Maybe you're watching online and you're saying, how can I be amazed? I'm telling you, God is so big. Can I pray with you today? Can I ask God to do something awesome, something amazing in your life? Do you believe he's able to do that in your life? Pray with me today. If you need to give your heart to Jesus, if you need to make a decision, we call it a yes moment here at the church. You can say yes to Jesus. And I'm telling you, the moment you say yes, everything changes in your life. You begin the process of miracles in your life. How do you pray it? Just pray with me. Say, Jesus, I'm ready for you to amaze me. I've had enough disappointment. I've had enough heartbreak. I've seen enough pain. Too many problems to count. I want to be amazed. I want you to change my life. So today I give you my sin. I give you all of that disappointment. I give you all of that pain. And I exchange it for your power, for your presence in my life. I say yes. I receive your gift of grace and mercy and salvation. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer in this room or online today, I want you just to type follow in the comment. Just say follow. If you type follow, our online host will drop this into your inbox, a virtual copy of Following Jesus. It's a few pages, but it'll help you with the next steps of your life. If you're in this room and you said yes today, we've got a copy on either one of these yes tables right here. You can pick up one of these, and I promise you it'll help you today. It'll bless you. Bless your life. Get back here online as often as you can. Every single week we'll be right here. Get to this room if you can. We'll be right here every single week. Would you stand with me across the room today? Come on, let's give God praise, because we know He's worthy. We know He's awesome. Yes. We know He's incredible and powerful. Come on, somebody say yes to Jesus.